haven't forgotten the scripture reading. Before Lyneth comes up to read the scripture today, I want to just set the scene a little bit, because you're going to hear her read the scripture, and she's going to read a story that takes place after the resurrection. And some of you are going to look at me and go, but wait a minute, we haven't done Holy Week yet. It's okay, all right? I just want to tell you that it's okay. This week, we want to look at what happened after the resurrection, because it's going to help us look at the disciples' wandering hearts during Holy Week. So next week, we're going to go back, and we'll celebrate Palm Sunday, where Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and then we'll do Holy Thursday, learn about the Last Supper, then the cross and the crucifixion on Friday, and then Easter Sunday, we'll celebrate all of the beauty of the resurrection. But we wanted to talk about the disciples' wandering hearts. That's the sermon series that we've been in, right? Wandering hearts. You know where the term wandering hearts comes from? If you don't, it's from this song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. It's Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. We sing that both in traditional services and in modern services, which tells you that the words of that song are really powerful. And in that song, there is a phrase that goes, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Every time I sing those words, I am convicted. I am prone to wander. I love God. I've given my life to God. I am a pastor in a church, for Pete's sakes. And yet I still wander. And I wonder if any of you wander too. And I suspect that you do. I don't think I'm alone in this. So we're going to continue to look at these wandering hearts, but especially Peter's wandering heart. Again today, we're going to look at Peter. And so the scene that you're in right now is it is after the resurrection. The disciples have come back to Galilee. They're at Lake Galilee, and it is quite a ways from Jerusalem up there. So the crucifixion has happened, the resurrection has happened, and the disciples are gathering on the shores of Lake Galilee, and we don't know why they're there. We don't know why they have chosen come back to the lake. They've decided to go fishing. Why have they gone fishing? We don't really know. Perhaps it's comforting to do the familiar. Perhaps they needed some money. That was how they made their livelihood before they met Jesus. But whatever reason, they're back and they're fishing, and Peter and some of them are out on a boat. They're not too far out in the water. They've been fishing all night. They haven't caught anything. And then a man appears on the shore and says, cast your nets on the other side. And if this sounds familiar, it's because it's the same story that happened when Jesus called the disciples at Lake Galilee. And so if you're in a boat and you're a disciple and a stranger comes and stands on the shore and says, cast your nets on the other side, your heart is now stirring because there is something familiar that is happening to you. And you cast your nets on the other side, you catch an abundant catch of fish, and at that moment, Simon Peter says, it is the Lord. And being Peter, he jumps out of the boat, he flounders to shore, and he goes to meet Jesus. As he goes to meet Jesus, I want you to think about what he's feeling. He denied Jesus 3 times, and he hasn't yet talked about it. There's been no conversation about what happened. Right now, it is just hanging heavy over Peter and over all of them. And so, Sarah, if you will come forward and read our scripture, that would be fantastic.
This morning's scriptures is from John 21:12-17. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, none of the disciples dared to ask him, who are you? Because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came out and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lamb." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend to my sheep." He said to him at the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Sarah. I really appreciate that reading. That was great. I wonder if you would pray for me and with me and for this word of God. Holy and gracious God, how beautiful to hear the scripture read with such emotion, helping us understand some of what Peter must have been feeling at that time. And now, God, we pray for your presence, that you might inhabit all of us, that you might bless the words that are spoken so that we might come to know who you are in a way that will help us know what we are called to do in your world. And I pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I hear this scripture, the whole part where they're at the beach and they see this guy on the beach and they don't recognize it's Jesus and then they get on shore, I've always assumed that they didn't recognize Jesus because they didn't believe the resurrection happened. But all the studying that I've done this week tells me that's probably not true, that I'm kind of giving the disciples an out. Because you heard in the scripture that she just read, that Lyneth read today, this was the third time they had seen Jesus. They've seen Jesus, they've talked to Jesus, some of them have touched Jesus. They believe that Jesus rose from the dead. They don't understand it. They can't quite comprehend what is happening. What they realize that at this point, this is not a resurrection story. It's a recognition story. Why don't the disciples recognize Jesus right away? Part of this is because they don't understand what happened. They know that Jesus rose from the dead, and somehow that gives him this new life. But what does that mean for them? What does that mean for their lives? Do they get new life too? And what does that mean? And so they don't recognize him. Have you ever not recognized someone? You know, like you're walking down the street and later somebody says, "I waved to you, but you didn't even acknowledge me." And you probably didn't even see them. When I was in college, way back in the day, I went to Birmingham Southern College, this little small college in Birmingham, Alabama. And it was early on a Sunday morning and I was going to church. And I was in college and I got up early to go to church. And I was going to sing this song in church and I'm hurrying across campus. And there's nobody around because it's a college campus. Early on a Sunday morning, it was not busy. So I wasn't really looking around. I wasn't paying attention to where I was going. And I'm thinking about what I'm going to do. And I ran into someone. I mean, I literally ran into someone. It was a whack. And I kind of went like this and I didn't pay any attention. And I'm like, "Oh, excuse me." And I kept on going. And I heard this guy go, "Excuse me." And I went and my friend was down there in this car. And he said, "Do you know who you just ran into?" And I said, "No, who?" And he says, "Arnold Schwarzenegger." I had no idea. No idea. He was very solid. He was very solid. And he's not as tall as I thought he was. But I ran into him, And I was so busy thinking about where I was going and what I was going to do that I didn't recognize him. This isn't a story about Arnold Schwarzenegger. This is a story about my inattention to where I am at the time. I was so focused on where I was going. I think we do this with Jesus as well. You can take Arnold down now. I was so focused that I didn't pay attention. I didn't know who was in my path. And I think sometimes we wander around and we don't realize that Jesus is right with us. Jesus is in our path. Jesus is like, I am right here. Come to me. Let's do this together. And instead, we're just like, oh, no, I'm busy. I'm doing important things. I'm moving along on the ways that I need to go. And so I don't recognize you. We miss what Jesus wants us to see. And I think that's what happened to the disciples that morning. I think they're on the beach, they're fishing, they're not really anticipating this. We read the Bible and we're like, guys, he told you that he was going to appear to you. How could you not get this? And I understand. I understand perfectly. They were focused on themselves. They were focused on their lives. They were wondering, what are they to do and what is going to happen? You've had that feeling, right? That dazed feeling. Maybe last week when the time changed and it's just an hour, but you're a little bit off the whole time. Or if you've traveled, like a 24-hour travel period, and you're just kind of dazed walking through life. You don't really know. You're disoriented. And Jesus understood that the disciples were disoriented. And so he does this wonderful thing. He has started a fire on the beach. Like, he's got the wood going, and he's got fish on the fire, and he's cooking it. And those disciples come ashore, along with very wet Simon Peter. And they're cold, and they're probably hungry. And Jesus says, come and have breakfast. I've prepared it for you. Such a kind thing to do, such a way to orient these disciples into, oh, this is Jesus. This is who we've walked around with for 3 years, and this is Jesus, the Jesus that we know. And Jesus offers them breakfast. And during this meal, he offers them bread. He offers them bread. And think back. Not long before that, they were at a table where Jesus served them bread, and he broke the bread, and he said, whenever you eat this bread, remember me. Can you say that with me? Remember me. Remember me. Every time you eat the bread, remember me. And they're sitting around the fire, and it's warm, and Jesus gives them bread, and they become reoriented to who Jesus is. And they are beginning to understand what is happening. He's helping them along. You see, Jesus is still on a mission. Jesus is continuing to move forward in his mission on earth, and he is really ready for the disciples to refocus, to remember what he has called them to do. And the resurrection simply pushes them forward in that, but they're still disoriented, and he wants them to focus, and he wants them to get to work, and he is especially focused on Peter. You remember Peter's wandering heart. So then, when they had finished breakfast, if you were filming this, there would be that music underneath, when they had finished breakfast. Jesus turns to Simon Peter. And if you know Jesus at all, if you've ever had a wandering heart, you have some idea of what is coming. What is coming is Jesus, who is the guy that's going to cook you fish and give you a fire and warm you up on the beach. That Jesus is also the Jesus that's going to confront you and say, you have a wandering heart. And he turns to Simon Peter. Simon Peter is about to have the original come to Jesus meeting. He doesn't know it yet, but it is about to happen. And Jesus looks at Simon Peter and He does this in front of all the disciples. The scriptures tell us that it's really interesting. He doesn't take Simon aside. He just talks, and it feels to me like they are in front of everybody. And Simon Peter, I have to believe, he's looking at Jesus, and he is dreading the conversation, but maybe there's a part of him that's ready for it. You know, Peter, so confident, so brash. He's the first to say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." He has named who Jesus is for a long time, but he is brash and he's impetuous. And Peter had denied Jesus 3 times. And then he had run away. And nobody's talked about it. Nobody said, "What was that about?" Jesus and Peter haven't had the conversation. Have you ever denied Jesus? You don't have to raise your hand. We're not gonna take a poll. But I wonder if you can think about if you've ever denied Jesus. Perhaps the better question was, when was the last time you denied Jesus? When was the last time your heart wandered? Getting ready for church this morning? In the parking lot? Maybe it was at the dinner party last night. You know, it's such an interesting experience, a thought process to think about our wandering hearts and when we deny Jesus. And I've been wrestling with this for a week. And I went, I had coffee with a friend of mine, and I asked him, I said, "Do you struggle with a wandering heart? Do you deny Jesus? Are you aware of this happening in your life?" And he laughed a little bit, and he said, "It's funny you should ask that." He said, "Last weekend, I went golfing with my buddies." He said, "I love to golf. I will golf anytime you ask me to golf." And he said, "We went golfing, we did the thing, and then we go back to the clubhouse and we're just sitting around enjoying each other's company. And then inevitably you start talking about the game and you start talking smack about how other people play golf." And he said, "But the thing that often happens is before you know it, you slide into innuendos about people that aren't there. And you start saying things that aren't kind about people that aren't in the room." And he says, "I know better. I know I shouldn't do that. But you're with this group and you're just talking and it's funny, and then the funny becomes just not nice." He said, "My heart wanders all the time. And I keep having to pull it back." Maybe your heart wanders when you're at the bus stop. Maybe you say something that you probably wish you hadn't said. Maybe your heart wanders when you're in a meeting and you're just trying to get stuff done and you start pounding on people. And when does your heart wander? When do you deny who Jesus is? So Jesus turns to Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" 3 times. "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, I love you." "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Why does Jesus ask him 3 times? Because he denied Jesus 3 times, and Jesus is not going to make it easy. He wants Peter to confront the wandering heart and the denial. It feels like Jesus is shining a spotlight on Peter. Like he's pointing to Peter and saying, you denied me 3 times. Do you love me? Do you love me? And I think Peter was probably tearful as well, saying, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." When I read that, I cringe every time. It makes my stomach feel funny. "Do you love me? Do you love me?" And I realized that I am not feeling for Peter. I am being convicted by the Holy Spirit. And if you ever feel that way too, if you are like, "Oh, that must have been horrible," and what it is this conviction of the Holy Spirit reminding me of all the small and large ways that I turn and I wander from God, and I deny his way, I deny who Jesus is, I deny my opportunities to serve the kingdom of God. It's why we are here, people. It's why we are the church, so we can serve God's kingdom, bring a better way of life to this earth, this world that is so confused, so divided. And yet I wander. It can be terribly uncomfortable. I wish I knew how often I had those come to Jesus meetings. I think it's getting less. I hope it's getting better. But it's why you need to hear the question, do you love me? Do you love me? Because when we wander, we are loving a lesser thing rather than the best thing. The danger of wandering, of denying Jesus, is to allow the mistakes we make, the sins we commit, to stop us from embracing the love of Christ. And Jesus is unwilling to settle for that. He wants to hold us to a higher standard. He will confront our wandering every time. Because Jesus knows that if we love him, we will orient all our decisions, all our focus to his way. It is not about avoiding sin. It is about embracing love. Jesus doesn't say, don't deny me. He says, do you love me? Do you hear the difference? Jesus isn't saying, don't deny me, don't deny me. He's saying, do you love me? Because Jesus knows that if we love with our whole heart, if we enter into the way that Jesus wants us to go, then we will not deny him. We will become the people that we are created to be. But I suspect some of you, we go through this life and we wander and we deny and we want to be the best, we want to be the smartest, the greatest, the wisest, the richest. We want to be all these things and we carry them around and they kind of cover up who we are. It reminds me of this bug that I learned about just recently. I read this in a blog. There is this bug, it's called the junk bug, looks like this. It's a very tiny little bug. And you'll notice on that bug's back, it looks like there's a bunch of dust or something, and it's weighing the bug down. That's not dust. You know what that is? Those are the empty carcasses of all the bugs that bug has eaten. I know. All the aphids, the mealybugs, he just eats those bugs and puts those carcasses on his back and he carries them around and they weigh him down. They allow him to hide from the world. When you carry around all that junk, when you carry around wanting to be the best, the smartest, the wisest, when you carry around all the times you deny Jesus and you're not willing to sit and have the hard conversation with Jesus, you are just hiding beneath all that, the carcasses of your sin. You're carrying that junk and it's heavy and it weighs you down and it doesn't allow you to be the person that you are. And Jesus says, that come to Jesus meeting, which sounds like it might be awful, is actually a beautiful meeting. It's come to Jesus. Jesus says, do you love me? Do you love me? Here's what I've been so convicted of this week. I don't want to wander. I want to do better. I want to love Jesus fully. What does this mean? What does it mean for you and I for this week? First of all, it means when you come forward today to receive Holy Communion, come with a humble heart and come pushing off all the stuff that you are carrying. You're just going to come with your hands outstretched, and Jesus just wants to pour love into those hands. Then this week, when you're about to gossip, or you're about to yell, or when you're making a really important ethical decision, when that addiction that you are struggling with is screaming in your ear, I want you to hear Jesus asking this question. Do you love me? See, the power of the resurrection is not just healing Peter's life. It's pushing him out the door into the world so that he can become this person who fully believes that the Jesus, our Lord in Christ, rose from the dead. Peter goes out after this. After this, you don't read stories about Peter doubting. After this, if you read on further, you're going to learn about the amazing things that Peter does. And I think Peter just kind of had that really uncomfortable conversation, and then he took all that stuff and he pushed it off. Here's the thing about this junk bug. This junk bug eventually cocoons, and he goes inside of himself, and then when he emerges again, he looks like this. He's this beautiful lace wing that flits through the sky and catches the light, and everybody looks at that and goes, that's a beautiful creature. Because he's free of all the things that he'd been carrying, all the junk that was weighing him down. He left it behind. And friends, when you come to receive communion today, think about the hard questions. Think about the times your heart wanders. Think about the time that you deny Christ and hear Jesus saying, do you love me? Because when you love someone fully, you want to do everything for them. And that's what Jesus is calling us to do. So Jean is going to come forward. We're going to share in this beautiful meal where we hear the song, God is so good. Jesus loves me. Do you love Jesus? Amen.